Wunder.
Happy New Year, guys, and welcome to The Break. This is actually episode 11, if you can believe it or not. Thanks for listening again. I'm Megan Angles, and joining me as usual is Phil Boileau and Justin Rowan. Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year's, beautiful people.
New Year, one new year you, in. I hope.
Happy New
I
Year.
I hope you got my notes.
It's lit.
On the New Year, new you. Just kidding.
New Year.
Well, I start off the new year with low expectations. So, like, on New Year's Day, I'm as awful as possible to my girlfriend because then, like, you just build up.
And then
like,
on day two, you buy a new
couch. Don't outdo yourself on day one.
That's a better place to sleep. And then you just redone your living room.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm there for Justin because I like Justin's salty attitude. It's, you know, he's like an angry, bitter sailor. Yeah. He's like an angry,
she likes
bitter
my style.
Sailor.
She, right.
He's basically...
we're like
a New York. We're done with the world.
So, you know.
And Justin got a new puppy dog, so he's happy.
I did get a new puppy. She is
so
adorable.
So technically, Justin now has a. What, oh, was it a beagle or beagle mix?
It's a beagle cross with a German Shepherd. She was actually trained to be like a therapy dog. So she was a dog with job, now she's unemployed.
She's crashing
she's
with
just
you guys.
A scumbag living off welfare. But
and
yeah,
she's not.
She's really well.
And
behaved,
she's not
obviously.
Murdered your chinchilla yet.
I think she's more scared of the chinchilla than the chinchilla is
What's
of
your
her. We got Chili, aka the ghost faced Chilla, and then
this guy's from Winnipeg.
Noni is
way.
The
if you guys
the puppy.
Don't behave, I'm gonna replace you with Beagle Mix and Chinchilla.
Oh.
I'm fine with that. I think it would improve the podcast.
It's just Meg whispering sweet nothings to the airwaves to like two animals who are just looking at this screen, chewing on the cords.
I mean, I think
yeah. My dog isn't gonna come up with any outlandish trade ideas or anything like that. And the chinchilla is just as sarcastic as me. So I think you could effectively replace Phil and I very easily. Yeah,
and they probably
yeah
smell
we're
better
replacement
than us,
level players. Okay, let's not go too far.
I mean, I think if
but speaking of tiny animals. I love that segue.
What? Well, you didn't segue so anything into.
It was such a good
excited.
Segue until
Speaking
you started
of
addressing
animals, you have to
it.
Finish the segue because now I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't finish the second part of the sentence.
I'm letting you do it.
You didn't actually.
Yeah,
segue
like
it.
I know where you're going, but
I'm letting you do it, Meg.
Continue. This is your segue. I'll give you a chance.
Oh, you're letting.
If you fail, this is how it's going for the rest of the year, and
oh,
you
you're
will not
me?
Be allowed
so,
to do any more segues. So you better not mess it up. It's not going well.
So speaking of tiny animals, the Cleveland Cavaliers have got their new point guard, or old point guard, or whatever you want to call him, back. Isaiah Thomas made his debut, and he's tiny.
Boom, roasted.
Yeah, roasted. Well, he's used to it. Whatever. I wasn't prepping this. I was literally handing it over to you, Meg, because I know you do a better job.
I would say that segue will only give you a chance to do another segue. That's the most I can promise right now.
That was a soft six. Like, again, that would have been great if...
And he didn't
like,
pat
he
himself
just did
on the
segue.
Way,
like, too. If... Like we're already 3 minutes into this podcast, and I guess a minute and a half is likely Phil talking about a segue he hadn't completed at that point, and animal talk. The animal talk I think people can deal with. The segue talk,
yeah, at least I'm consistent. James Hollis is actually way meaner to me than you guys are with my segues. Oh no, it's okay because I'm
well,
literally just terrible.
Doesn't,
and this
well,
is why I try to avoid
because
it
because they're not any better. Shouldn't, I guess obviously you respond
I need
to
my
positive,
safe space
you
now.
Respond to praise rather than discipline. Yeah.
Or are you comparing me to his dog now? Let's get out of here.
No.
Okay, so whatever. Yes. Isaiah Thomas is back. He scores, what did he have, 17 off the bench in his first appearance? Am I getting that one right, Justin?
Yeah, 17 points in 19 minutes. So basically a point per minute. Very good performance. Little shaky at the start. Obviously, a little bit of rust. I think him coming off the bench made things a lot easier for him in this game. Because, I mean, he didn't have to figure out how he's going to fit. He just came off the bench, LeBron sitting, and his role was score.
And that's
go
how
out
it
there,
should
take
be
every
going
single
forward.
Shot.
How would you rate his comeback performance? Do you think it was people were underrating it? Do you think he played better than expected? I think probably a lot better. He even said he played a lot better than he expected. He fit in really well, especially for...
And his shot was falling, right? And he got to the rim kind of when he wanted. He finished.
He got roughed around a little bit too, which is nice, you know? Get right back into the game.
Yeah, and he drew fouls, which in a game where they weren't calling fouls and there were muggings on both ends of the floor, it's nice to see him still draw fouls because that's such an important part of his game and a big part of why he's effective. I don't think there's any way to look at that game and say it was anything other than better than expected. He moved around really, really well. There wasn't a whole lot of rust there. There's going to be down games. I don't think every game is going to be as smooth as that. As I said, I think once he gets inserted into the starting lineup, the Cavs are going to regress a bit initially, which is fine because you're building towards what they can be as a fully healthy unit. In terms of how he moved, which I think is the most important thing, I don't know if you could expect much more than how he looked against Portland.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Now, I was talking to you about this on Twitter. Now, when you're looking on how this went down and you see how that, you know, second unit went with Wade and Thomas, I kind of like how they're playing, having two main scorers front side, two main scorers off the bench. I know you think I'm crazy. Call me crazy once. I'll let you do it officially again. But I kind of like starting Calderon and letting Thomas come off with Wade off the bench. Just have that constant pressure.
I mean, but is your plan for Isaiah Thomas to play 19
no.
minutes?
No,
night
more like
and just
30,
play
32,
LeBron's
somewhere
sitting?
In there.
Okay, so here's my question. I'm with you that staggering to some extent is going to be helpful because you need to have playmaking on the floor at all times. I agree that Wade and Isaiah work well because Wade is so intelligent and he moves well off the ball. But with Isaiah, if he's playing 32 minutes, there's no difference between him starting and then either subbing out early or LeBron subs out early and staggering it from there. I don't know why you would try to ruffle the feathers there and have him come off the bench.
I wouldn't want to ruffle the feathers because I like how their starting five is running, and then he seemed to acclimatize himself.
You think Isaiah Thomas, who one of his biggest strengths is his chip on the shoulder, but you think he's going to be fine being a sixth man after being top five in MVP voting? You think that wouldn't ruffle feathers with him?
It probably
in a would. Contract year when he's trying to earn value.
And he's not going to get it. Yeah. Although what was interesting for me is how you saw like Jay Crowder wake up. It's like he's like the little battery pack for Jay Crowder that makes him go. These jokes are never going to end. But
yeah, I mean, Crowder looked very good. I think it's worth noting he's looked good for about 3 weeks here. He's moving really well.
I think he had like a nagging injury we didn't know about.
Well, no, he didn't have an injury. He admitted that he needed to get a little bit in shape. But he's with the team, they're playing more ball movement. There's more movement on the offensive end, and I think that benefits Crowder. Because when they're playing slow with that starting unit and he has to really kind of work for every possession, that's not his ideal game. I know he shot pretty well from three last season, but he's not a shooter. He's better cutting and playing with energy. And because he played with that bench unit with Wade and Isaiah there, that's a unit that plays with a lot of pace, with a lot of movement. That's why Jeff Green has had so much success as a cutter. So I think more minutes with the bench would do Jay Crowder a lot of good. But I don't necessarily credit simply Isaiah for him having a better game. I think it was more playing with the bench and just kind of noting that he has been a lot better over the last few weeks. He's more comfortable with his role, and he's in shape. He's playing defense, and he's moving around better on the court.
And Megan, does it bother you at all that he's doing this? I mean, I can't be the only one hating on it.
Are you talking about me or Jay Crowder?
No. You're fine for now, I guess. No, Jay Crowder's going good. But I'm actually an interesting thing is I know Meg's a huge Raptors fan, even though she won't admit it sometimes, which is never.
I don't say that I'm not, but I'm not saying.
You've confused yourself.
No.
So when we're
just you.
When we're talking about tiny point guards, I think your team has one too. In Kyle
Go
Lowry.
On. No. See, there's your half-ended segue.
So your team has a tiny point guard, and these two teams are probably going to meet. Maybe depends, but I think some would argue that the Raptors and Cavs. Cavs are the two best teams in the East, probably come playoff time.
Where are the Celtics?
And they're
going to
meet.
They're just gone. They're out of there.
I don't think they have.
They went the way of Gordon Hayward's ankle.
And the Washington Wizards have John Wall, so they're going to lose. So the Raptors and Cleveland. So Kyle Lowry is going to be matched up with Isaiah Thomas. Now, I had this thought, and I've been talking on Twitter about this, how I think small guards won't win. Do you feel confident as a... I'll preface this. Small guards as your best player won't win. Obviously, that's not the case in Cleveland. Kind of the case, depending how you play that in Toronto.
What do you mean won't win? Like, they're not enough? What do you...
Exactly. Like... we're talking Chris Paul with the Clippers. We're talking the Hornets with their point guard. I'm blanking on his name. Blah, 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 blah.
My God. Drew Holiday. not the Hornets. I got New Orleans mixed up. Kemba
Tiny
Walker.
Kemba.
That's right. The Hornets are now in Charlotte. That's right.
One day Justin's going to learn basketball. But
no, I like, you know
day.
What?
Someday.
My favorite part about that was with the conviction that he said that to you, but then didn't even,
right.
but didn't even.
Hey, if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be loud wrong.
Skip a beat, which I appreciate the commitment. If you're talking about like looking at a team like the Raptors, obviously it's hard to talk about them as a regular season team and then them as a playoff season team because, again, I know we've talked about this, but as we've seen the last couple of years, those are sometimes two very different teams. So, I mean, you can look at their regular season and make predictions, but honestly, it's so hard to tell. Again, like Lowry kind of flops in the playoffs as he's done the past couple seasons. Obviously,
but that's my whole point,
yeah.
right? Like
but is
all
that just,
these guys.
But that might be more a Raptors thing. You think that's every team? I don't think every team does that quite as
no,
horribly
that's...
as them. There may be some ups and downs. Obviously, like playoffs are a whole different game. But I wouldn't say. I think Raptors are very not unique to that problem, but they're definitely the bigger issue for them. So I don't. You would have to see if this season's going to be different, and also, I mean, if you're going to talk about it, I would talk about playoffs being different than regular season.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely talking playoffs because, like, in reality, both these teams are headed to the playoffs.
But if he played like he did in the regular season, then yeah, I think that was, because that would be a huge difference for them over the past couple years.
Okay, but they don't, right?
But they don't until they do, but that's, you're asking almost like two different questions. So if he, he's unique in the way, unfortunately, that he's been flopping in playoffs. If he continued to play as he does during the regular season, him and DeMar as well, both of them are playing ridiculous basketball, especially if you look at DeMar DeRozan, who I think should be tossed in to the MVP candidacy
MVP.
This year.
MVP? I mean, maybe. Okay, well, we'll come back to that ridiculousness later. But I've been wanting to make fun of the small guards all over the NBA for a while, and this Isaiah Thomas return finally gave it to me. Now, I looked last year, I saw Thomas as he was the best player on the Celtics last year. Are we gonna have any arguments here?
No.
No?
He was definitely the best player.
So he was called on to be the main scorer, that's what he had to do, and they brought a bunch of defense around, and they didn't win. Now, this year, I think it's a little bit different because my theory is when he's your best player, he's definitely not the best player. He's probably your he's your third. I think he would say to himself he's the second best player on that team. I think he's third after Love. So he's a bit safe from this. But when we're looking at guys like in the West, Chris Paul is a perfect example for this. So he was just great regular season player. And I think while you could argue with Blake Griffin, who was the better player for the majority of it, I think most people would have said Chris Paul was the better player.
The better player.
Trying to be fair to like one person out there, and I don't even care. So it didn't work out come playoff time. They always had great regular seasons and it never worked out. So maybe I'm picking on your Raptors too much, but how do you guys feel about truly your best player being an undersized point guard? Do you think we can talk Allen Iverson as an old example? We can talk Kemba, how it's working there. Just overall, like, do you think he can be your best player? I mean, you can throw whatever examples you want.
Yeah, I think so. If you're even like you want to talk about Raptors a little bit, I think if you look past a couple years, like a few seasons back, Kyle Lowry was one of the best players on the team, and he was taking, and DeMar, I feel like, was almost playing second fiddle. Now it seemed to have switched, and DeMar's more of the all-star. Kyle's kind of behind him, but I think if you go, a couple seasons back, it was the opposite for a little. Like, Kyle was the face of the Raptors for a while, so absolutely. I think so.
But come playoff time, right? Because we still have to focus there. That's what counts. Those are the money games. And we both... Look, I agree with everything you just said. Lowry's been the better player. And look, Lowry has gotten in great shape. And he's actually put up some decent post defense. So I think his defense is improving and all those little things. But can that win?
I see. I think a small point guard can play and can win in the playoffs if they are good enough. If you look at Chris Paul, it's not like his numbers drop off a cliff in the playoffs. He's still fantastic. There's mental issues there, and it was the game against the Lakers, actually. I don't know if you guys saw this highlight, but it kind of summed up what Chris Paul's issue is. There was a play that could have been reviewed and a basket that could have been waved off. And Chris Paul freaked out about it, and he wanted to inbound the ball so badly that he shoved PJ Tucker out of the way, and he went to inbound. And then Paul, on the other end, he drew a foul, and he was trying to high-five everybody, and everyone high-fived him except for PJ Tucker. Now, that kind of stuff's going to get blown out of proportion to some extent, but he's someone that tries almost too hard to his detriment, and he's such a maniac that it hurts them in those situations. But when you're talking about, are they going to win? The Raptors aren't going to lose because Kyle Lowry is 5'11". They're going to lose because they don't have better players than the teams that are ahead of them. And teams have won with undersized point guards. Look at the Pistons with Isaiah Thomas back in the day. To say that one style of player or that you can't win with an undersized player, it's just not true. I mean, Draymond Green is 6'5", and he shuts down centers. It's not a matter of size, and this type of player can't win. The best player needs to be on a championship team is a top five talent in whatever form that takes. You can go through an era where point guards were the best player on championship teams. Right now, it's kind of been small forwards and wings. That's where the talent has been. And the NBA is going to go through cycles. I wouldn't be surprised if big men take over that era, whether it be Joel Embiid, Kristaps Porzingis, Karl-Anthony Towns, a player like that. We might go through an era where you need a superstar big man and center in order to win the title, and that's going to be the narrative. But after that, it might go back to wing, it might go to point guard. I don't think that you can definitively say, here, this is a type of player that can't succeed. Kyle Lowry has had well-documented mental issues, and there's some barriers there that cause him to not play well in the playoffs, because he's had good playoff series. His numbers were actually pretty good last year, but his confidence wavers, and he doubts whether or not he can contribute at that level, and that is the barrier, not his height.
Wow. Very articulated. I want to finish this. It actually was. I was being very serious, so if that came off as sarcastic, it absolutely was not.
Articulated.
I really wish that was like an Owen Wilson. Wow. Man.
But I want to end this podcast on kind of a fun note, and I'm glad that you brought up sort of that ridiculous on-court behavior, because I wanted to touch on something interesting that I listened to the other day about Dennis Rodman, and obviously he's one of the most insane and ridiculous people in the NBA and such a polarizing figure. So there's a 30 for 30 podcast about one of the training staff that was basically had to babysit him for 10 days. And I have a point, I'm going somewhere with this. And I just thought it was interesting. Basically, there's a short film on it. It's like 15 minutes, it's animated. It's really fun. But the whole thing I want to get is, I'm curious, is there anybody in the NBA today like Rodman? And I'm talking about entertainment-wise. On or off the court, who is there somebody as comparable and almost insane, larger than life at his level?
I mean, my gut reaction's Draymond right away, yeah. But I guess he's not at Hollywood.
Here's the thing. Nobody is on Rodman's
he's not on
level.
The human
like he's,
level.
Nobody's showing up to games. Yeah, nobody's showing up to games in drag. But I do think ultimately one of the things that makes the NBA so great is that they really embrace the personalities and compare
Russell
to
Westbrook,
other leagues.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, I mean Westbrook isn't
he's
that weird.
Weird.
Like he dresses
play,
like. See, you can like you can pick and choose
for a movie, and you wanted to like have somebody in there. I could easily picture Westbrook as being like a weird kind of villain in a movie. Like he's got a look to him, and like you said, even with Scott, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but no one's on Westbrook's level, or no one's in Rodman's level. Sorry, Freudian slip there. But I think you could like you almost have to like make a composite player if you really want to get like a Rodman. Like you would need like you'd need like J.R. Smith's partying, Kyrie's opinions on the shape of the world, Draymond Green on court as
Joel
well
Embiid's
as some of
Twitter
his
game.
How brash Draymond Green is on the court and how unafraid he is to share his opinions and stuff like that. So like I think there's a little bit of Rodman still in the league, and as I said, that's what makes the league so great is the how they embrace the personalities and just how you get that showcased. But ultimately, no, there's no Rodman. Nobody's going to North Korea right now.
If you ever saw Rodman out of context and you were like, this guy's an NBA player, guess the year, you would never be like, oh yeah, easily 20 years ago. Like, I find it would be hard to place him even that far back. Like, looking at him and just all the stuff that he pulled off, and again, like, all the things that he did coming before games and just his off-court antics, I think, you know, you'd place him at least, if not today's game, in 10 years in the future. Like, people.
He would be so destructive in today's game. Yeah. Like at center, Dennis Rodman? Ugh. No, seriously.
But again, like Draymond Green, the little 6'6 center
with short shorts
that plays way bigger than a center. And Phil wouldn't draft him because he's not
he doesn't
a
shoot
specimen
threes,
in
done.
Terms of length. Exactly. Yeah, you'd be out on him in a moment.
Chance, watch that little film, or at least listen to the 30. It was pretty interesting, and it was just fun to listen to the craziness. And sounds like a good time.
The 30 for 30 podcasts are tremendous. So when you're done listening to all of ours
and you're done throwing
and
up
us
in a
great
bucket,
ratings
and
reviews,
and you've recovered after New Year's end listening to us, then 30 for 30 as per Meg.
I'm into it.
Selfless promotions.
Well, you know, we do them a couple favors. You never know. Maybe the break's popping up on there. They do us a couple favors, you know? I scratch their back. They scratch
this,
ours.
This segment is brought to you by ESPN 30 for 30 podcast.
And really
sure
hard
promo code
you know
the break.
Seeing things that don't exist.
Instead of your nasal strips, it's going to be that 30 for 30 money.
Oh, exactly. Use promo code the break to get a discount on your free 30 for 30 podcast that you're listening to.
Yes. Thank
I think
you,
the best
guys.
We're going to do is like Terry's Chocolate Orange coming back, just because no one has ever heard of that in like 10 years. Rand.
But now I want it.
Ever.
See, that's your power as a promoter. You might suck at segues, but that promotion
was
seamless.
Right. We found a new spot for you.
Yay, me.
We're making you great again, Phil.
Nobody cares about. You know what? Nobody's filling that niche anywhere. That's you.
pointless promotions.
Yeah.
Is this on James level mean or not quite?
Oh.
What did he do to you? Who hurt you?
No, this is me. As I said, this is making him better. This is
we're making Phil great again.
New Year's resolutions to the podcast.
He likes the victim role. He's always like, oh, you guys pick on me. You guys pick on me.
Oh, he thrives in it.
We're making it just pick on me.
See, Phil will play the jester, but he's really like it's next level.
Like
it's intelligence.
Seven.
It's conniving. It's conniving, exactly. He's this giant, and he uses the victim role to angle for great things, and that's what makes Phil great.
Aww,
he's a conversation starter.
Melting.